Welcome to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you very much for joining us. Today, we're going to be talking with the author of The Next Evolution, Blueprint for Transforming the Planet, asking the question, how can we make the planet work for everyone? We'll take your calls this afternoon as well here on Tell Me Your Story. You stay with us. I'm Richard Dugan. The phone number, 564-1290, 564-1290.
Walk with me, talk with me.
The views expressed are not necessarily those of the staff, management, ownership, or advertisers of News Press Radio, AM 1290. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, and we are talking with Jack Reed. He is the author of the book I have just mentioned, which I have sitting on the console right now. It is The Next Evolution and that blueprint thereof. Jack, it's good to have you on the program.
It's good to be here.
It's not quite your normal blueprint where you roll it out and the architects take a look at it and say, okay, where are we going to build this and when are we going to start excavation and when are we going to start construction and when will it be finished? It's not quite that easy, even though many architects and contractors would say that even that process isn't easy. What kind of a blueprint are we talking about in terms of making the planet work for everyone? And then we'll also talk about what do you mean by make it work. So tell us about the blueprint first.
Well, this came from a group of us getting together and just entertaining that question, how can we have the world work for everyone? And if you bring people together who hold the consciousness of the highest good for all and really are willing to get out of the box to look at that, I think that a lot of people would come up with this same idea that we had. And as a matter of fact, I hear from people all over the country and around the world through the website of people who have heard this idea, and it's their idea, but we just happened to put it into a description, and then I wrote a book about it. So this is an idea that's shared by a lot of people now who are thinking about that same issue. How can we have it work for everyone? And what we've done on this planet, unquestioned for thousands of years, we've got this every person for themselves approach to how we go about life on the planet. And everything is basically designed that way, and it's gone on so long that now people are not even getting beyond that in terms of how they think about what has to happen now, particularly with these crises that the planet now faces. So if we have a community, create a model community, and not retrofit an existing community, but really create a community that's based on the concept of the highest good for all, and show that as a model, that one thing could start changing everything else because it would be so, so very different from anything that is that people are aware of right now. And it would get that concept into the consciousness like, oh, yeah, we could do that too.
Drop some names. What other people that our listeners would know about are interested in this kind of plan, this kind of blueprint, and this way of living?
Well, Neil Donald Walsh did the – you wanted me to drop some names. He did the foreword for my book, and in his – the book that he did after that, which was called Tomorrow's God, he based a chapter on that book on this idea about how we have to change from this, the incredible inefficiency of the every person for themselves system, which the consumerism and the amount of waste and the amount of nonsense products that are produced, you know, he goes on to... He expands on some of the ideas that we came up with and that I put in the book. It's just so, so incredibly inefficient. Next weekend in town, Marshall Rosenberg is going to come to town, as he does once or twice a year. He started Nonviolent Communication. I gave him a copy of my book, which he read at one point, and then he emailed me last year, and he said, the more I read your book, the more I wonder – why isn't this the most widely read book on the planet? Isn't that an incredible endorsement?
It's a wonderful endorsement. These ideas that you put forth in this book, these were created, I shouldn't say created, but they were compiled. in what format? How did you come to put these together in such a concise way that this book is now so valuable to so many people, the ideas that are contained in it are?
We had a group of people. It was a small group of people. It was mostly five people who met together for 3 years, and we met about every week or every other week sometimes. And we took every aspect of how we would live together in community and what it would look like and how it would work. And we used the process of consensus decision-making to come up with all our ideas on how we did that. And we meticulously went through, and sometimes we'd be stymied for quite a while as people were not some of the people said, you know, there's something missing there. So we really explored these ideas in depth, not only with what would work for us, but what we thought would work for other people as well. And it came up. Now, I had this idea in my consciousness since I was 15 years old, but what we came up with was so beyond the ideal scene that I had in my mind, because there's some synergy that can take place when you have a group of people come together into that oneness. So it was just far beyond that. And we described in 12, there's 12 sections that go into describing everything about how a community would work and operate. And
we'll get into that as well here in the program if we can, to talk a little bit about what community means. I've used the term a number of times on this program. I see the word more as a verb when discussing this, because it is action that has to take place amongst people. You use the term to describe this one gentleman who wrote your foreword, your introduction, as creating nonviolent communication, and those almost seem like oxymorons or diametrically opposed terms, because if you're communicating, there is no violence. So I don't know if we can discuss much of that. We might have to have him on the program to talk about that a little bit as well. If you just joined us, I'm Richard Dugan, and you're listening to Tell Me Your Story. And we're talking with Jack Reed. He's the author of The Next Evolution, A Blueprint for Transforming the Planet. And in real terms, that's what we're talking about here. Changing, not reforming, because to reform, isn't that just to take all of the old stuff and just kind of reshape it? We really want to get rid of the old stuff and start from scratch, in a manner of speaking?
Yeah, on the back cover of the book, there's a quote by Bucky Fuller, which really epitomizes what we're doing here, where he said, in order to change something, don't struggle to change the existing model. Create a new one and make the old one obsolete. In my presentations, I put up a PowerPoint that the first one says, the economic system is broken, and the second one says the political system is broken. We need to do something else. I think the crises that the world is facing now is not necessarily a bad thing. I think it's probably the catalyst that will move people to come into more and more of that consciousness of the highest good for all, because they just recognize, hey, we've got to find something else, because what we're doing just isn't working. So if there is a community that's set up as a model, and what we envision is if there's a cluster of six of these communities of 500 people each, about 3,000 people, where people would be able to look at that and say and see that, wow, these people are living a whole lot better than I am. They're more abundant. They're living more in harmony with nature. They're more in touch with themselves, each other, and with all life. They're having more fun. They have more opportunities to involve themselves in creative pursuits and interests. And they're more healthy because they're eating locally grown food. And there's more access to free, preventable health care, preventative health care. And in all ways, people would look at that and say, geez, what do I need to do to be a part of that? Yeah. I want to be a part of that as everything else is just not working. I want to have more free time. I want to play more.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to really inspire people to change. It's not going to be this – you know, like the craziness of the bipartisan two-party system, and you know, where as we come into this presidential election year, where people take shots at each other, and they do that because it works, of course.
Shock value, really.
Yeah, but if people want to be inspired about doing something different, not just rail against all the imbalances that are out there, as I look into listen to, you know, some of these Air America programs, for instance, there's not a lot of difference if you turn off what's being said and just listen to the tone of it.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of difference between that and a conservative talk show, because it's all like railing against the other side.
Yeah.
And I think we can do something that transcends all of that as people get beyond the bickering and just move into like the joy and the loving. That's what's going to inspire people, not being a critic.
Right. There are three things I want to get into as we continue our program. One of them has to do with my sharing this idea with people, and they're coming back to me saying, sounds like a commune and communistic. And so we'll talk a little bit about and better define that so people understand. One of the other issues had to do with this whole aspect, as you brought up, of how do I become a part of this? And we'll talk about that as well as we continue here on the program. I want to again remind you, this is Tell Me Your Story. If you'd like to give us a call and ask Jack a question or put something on the table for us, or if you're in favor of something along these lines and you're familiar with what his book has to say and some of these other ideas, give us a call at 564-1290. That's 564-1290. If you're listening on the internet, and we certainly hope that you are, the number is 866-564-1290, and we will field your phone call and take you on the air and let you say your piece, as it were, and have an opportunity to talk about what you perceive of as the next evolution. One of the other points, the third pillar of what kind of came up was, and I want to dive into this one as we go into those other areas, you're not talking about leveling all of the cities and starting over from that standpoint, are you?
No.
Because you talk about the economic system not working and the political system not working. Some would even would say the religious system isn't working either. And some would envision, well, let's just bulldoze the cities down and start over.
Well, it would be very hard in terms of the housing problem to bulldoze the cities
this
down.
This is true, yes.
And start over. What we're envisioning is a very gradual evolution as we create the model, and then similar models spring up here, you know, in other countries and other states. And
can we afford a gradual evolution?
What?
Can we afford a gradual? I mean, look at where we've come so fast, so far afield. Can we afford to take it slow? Shouldn't we kind of move a little faster than slow?
Well, this wouldn't necessarily be slow.
Okay.
But, you know, if you're looking at the big picture in terms of, I'm talking about slow in terms of, as opposed to leveling cities.
Okay, I got you.
But this can really, the world could be transformed within 100 years this way.
Okay.
It might be faster than that. It all depends on how fast the consciousness of the people moves on this. But this could actually change everything.
How are these communities different than communes, or as I made the comment about, this sounds kind of communistic, where, you know, it's all for one centralized government governing body, and how is that really that different? Explain that.
Yeah, I went into that in Chapter 9 in the book, actually, which is the last chapter, is the way I look at it. First of all, these communities are based on consensus decision-making, where we return the decisions into the hands of the people at the local level so that they retake control over their lives and do not have the outside influences necessarily telling them what to do or what they can't do. The people at the local level and through the power of consensus have the authority within themselves over their own lives. And that's very different from anything that we're seeing right now. So to me, capitalism, communism, socialism, they are all more alike than they are different in that they are all centralized power-based systems. What we're talking about is something that is so very, very different from any of those systems. And this is not a you know, a 60s, 70s, back to nature, poverty, hippie kind of thing.
We're streaking talking, and all of that good stuff.
we're talking about building something that would incorporate the latest technology, be more like an Epcot Center kind of a thing.
For you, and you say you have been envisioning this since you were 15, how close are you today to seeing this evolution manifesting in this reality? Are you seeing communities yet? Is that still in the working stages? Which then leads me into the next part of this. How do I become a part? It does sound great, and I know there's another way of doing things. I don't know what the answer is. Maybe it's your way, maybe it's someone else's, but I know that the way we've been doing it isn't working. How do I become a part of this process?
Well, the first part of that, when I was on Barbara Marx Hubbard's internet broadcast one time, she asked me how much would it take to do this, and after I left the show, I came up with some financial figure, which was really off the top of my head. But after I left, I thought, you know, the real answer to that question is not in an amount of money. The real answer to that question was it would take just one person. It's all a matter of networking in terms of who you know that you can connect with to make things happen. Because there are people out there on the planet who can absolutely make this happen. And without... I can't name names at this point, but we just had a meeting this week with a local person, and I came home so excited from that because it was like, wow, this is the thing that could happen here, because it was a person with connections, and we just laid out a vision on how we could really do this, not only by creating a community here in the United States, but a sister community in another country in Africa, where we could do this simultaneously and draw even more media attention to this model and showing it. And the resources are there. I don't know for sure what's going to happen with mm-hmm. that, but I'm very excited about that possibility. And so, in terms of getting involved,
mm-hmm.
go to the website, www.communityplanet.org. So we're going to have a new website up in about 2 weeks. The existing one, you can still contact us
mm-hmm.
and contact us, and we'll keep you in touch. We'll put you on the newsletter, email newsletter list, and we'll keep you informed about what's happening.
Communityplanet.org. That's the website. Okay. Communityplanet.org, check it out. I mean, what have you got to lose? Check it out. These ideas are put forth for you to do just that. And if you want to get involved, that's entirely up to you. That is your choice. We provide you with all of these wonderful choices and then give you the opportunity with free will, I'm sure glad we have that, to move forward on that. We are going to take a short break. We're going to come back and talk more with Jack about the next evolution here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you very much for joining us. And if you'd like to give us a call, phone number is 564-1290. That's 564-1290. If you're outside the area, 866-564-1290. I'm Richard Dugan. We'll be right back. Tell Me Your Story is the name of the program. I'm Richard Dugan. My guest is Jack Reed. Phone number, Jack. Is there a number people can call to get in touch with you and get more information?
Sure. If you don't have a pen, you can find me. I'm in the Santa Barbara phone book, Jack Reed, but it's 962-2038.
And that's communityplanet.org. My website, Richard Dugan, Richard, Dugan.org. Stay tuned. We have more coming up. Give us a call, 564-1290. This is Tell Me Your Story. Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. My guest in studio is Jack Reed, the author of The Next Evolution Blueprint for Transforming the Planet. And you can go to communityplanet.org and get more information. And Jack Reed is, of course, in the local phone book if you'd like to look him up. And we would love to have you touch base with Jack and other folks that are like-minded. And Jack, speaking of like-minded, a lot of people might start their concept of community and of transforming the world and of all of these things is quite literally, for some, unplugging from the grid. No more utility lines into their yards for their homes. They're using solar. They're using propane. They're using whatever. No internet, no cell phone, no TV. Back to the way it was in the 1700s and 1800s, maybe. And living off the land, that's their concept of community. That is not what you're talking about here, is it?
No.
Okay.
No, but take some of those things that you just said, and as opposed to doing this individually, imagine yourself being in a community of 500 people. And in that community, we're producing all of our own energy. So we don't have those lines, those power lines coming in. And in terms of, you know, now people, you know, the television is kind of the least common denominator where people go out and they a lot of people have to go to work, and it takes time to get to work, and it takes time, you know, and you work all day at the job, and then you have to
commute home.
Commute, I was looking for that word, but it just wasn't rolling out of my consciousness there.
That's why I'm here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So people's life force just kind of gets sucked away, and then it's like, okay, well, what do I want to do to entertain myself? Well, you know, maybe I call somebody, and we arrange to get together, and then we match calendars, and there's a Tuesday available 3 weeks from now. You know, it's not like when we were kids where we could – there was a group of people where we could get together and just go out and play. Imagine in a community, yeah, there's people that you can do things with. If your interest is playing music or singing or being involved with art, whatever you want to do, drama, I'd love to act in a community play. Frankly, kind of a frustrated actor, as shy as I am. But, you know, there's anything that a person would want to do would be available. And so, you know, television would be available too.
Mm-hmm.
But the chances are, you know, because you don't want to, like, just, you know, take people's choices away from them. But
right,
when there's other more exciting things that people can do to connect, to go out and play, let's say, you know, there's a basketball or volleyball games that one can be involved with. There's any number of things that are available there in community. So, you know, it's not going out and disconnecting. In a way, it's disconnecting, but it's disconnecting as a community. Mm-hmm. But it's not a community that's in isolation. It's a community that has a visitor center where people can come and visit and see what the technology is. They can see how this community is able to do consensus decision making on the basis of 500 people, which we figured out and is written in Chapter 4 of the book. And they can see what universal health care looks like on a local level.
Mm-hmm.
They can see how a community can take care of everybody within the community, as opposed to the, you know, now the government takes care of people at a certain point. And this is why this community model is so different from anything else in terms of the capitalism, communism, socialism, is the community is taking care of people. And as opposed to now in our society where we have old people or people with disabilities and we separate them off and put them in certain places. I mean, I have a real pet peeve about that, having a background working in disability awareness with the Department of Rehabilitation. It's like collecting people together in nursing homes as a place, you know, where people are just hanging out until they die. It's like, that is not what we're doing here. Let's integrate people. Let's not have retirement. Let's have people be able to be involved in whatever they want to do. People love to garden, for instance, at all ages. And there's any number of things that people can do to involve themselves, to create the enthusiasm for life that will prolong life and health.
Yeah. Now, in terms of this aspect of preventative health, we would still have hospitals and clinics and things of this nature, but they would be run by people who really wanted to be there, who genuinely were helping the person in need, but from a preventative health. Now, certainly you're still going to have the possibility, you know, broken legs and a burst appendix and some of these other things as well, right? I mean, that's just sort of, as far as we know, that's sort of the natural occurrence of life. Those kinds of things have been happening as long as man's been on the planet, right?
Right. One of the differences, though, that in a community that is based on cooperation as the medium of exchange, that one has ample access to preventative health care. Now, a lot of people, they only go in to see a doctor when the situation is more serious, mm-hmm. as opposed to when it could have been treated and would have been treated if people felt like, you know, they could have afforded to have gone in the first place.
Is it, isn't there a concern, though, that some members of the community may take undue advantage of this or any other aspect? I'm sure there's going to be a community store of sorts, and some people may get really concerned. Oh, there isn't going to be enough. Winter's coming, and we better start, you know, and then the shelves are empty, or they're constantly at the doctor's office, or over-abusing those privileges. How is something like that handled in a community that we're talking about here?
It's a good point, and I say that there's two things that are different here, is that one, we're basing the model on the principle of the highest good for all. The second thing is, and this is rarely talked about when I go to meetings where they're talking about ecology or the Green Revolution or whatever, they're not talking about usually, or ever, I haven't heard it yet, the consciousness of the highest good. Mm-hmm. And that's going to have to go hand in hand with this whole model. So again, in Chapter 4, where we describe how this works, one of the 12 focus areas that go to make up the community is called how do we expand our community. And part of the responsibility for this group is not only to get the word out there to the world on this different model, but also screening people to come into the community, because you can't just have anybody come in without holding that consciousness of the highest good.
Okay, so now you're talking about, and again, this would be a concern on some people's parts, now you're talking about a litmus test. This is like a gated community where only certain people can get in who hold title to the property, kind of thing. And they have to behave in a certain way. And I tend to agree with you that if I'm going to be part of that community, I've got to be agreeable to consensus and not dictate. And that's really what it comes down to. If you're going to be a part of community, of this community that you're blueprinting here in the book, The Next Evolution, you have to come in 100% ready to be responsible for accepting all of the, I'm going to call them guidelines, for living in community. Is that pretty well sum it up?
Yeah, I want to go back and say that this would by no means be a gated community, because the whole principle here, the whole purpose is mm-hmm. to show the world
right.
what can be done.
More as a metaphor, gated community.
What would be screened for in terms of membership to be part of that consensus decision-making process would be that the person has the maturity of consciousness to hold that highest good for all. They know that what they're doing is helping to transform the planet, and they know the importance of that, and they're not going to let their ego or their concerns that could block the process. They know that they have a responsibility to be, mm-hmm. to act mature in their consciousness.
Right. This does not preclude the individual's individuality to pursue those things that, as I have, I love the term, that is part of their, shall we say, first best destiny in terms of, well, this person's a singer. They love to sing. They have beautiful music coming out. This person's an artist, a drawer, a painter. This person's an architect, a designer of beautiful structures, and can still do that within community. But I almost feel a little bit like the implication is that by bringing these people together who are of that mature consciousness, shall we say, that it almost precludes the need for maybe even law enforcement. Because if you and I are living in community and we're both mature enough to say, you know what, you know, I may not like what it is that you're doing, but you know what, Jack, you have a right to that, just as I would hope you would acknowledge my right to do the things that I'm doing behind closed doors, you know, whether it's whatever it is. And I'm not going to come and attack you because I have that maturity of consciousness. And so would there be all of the same types of trappings of cities and towns that we have today, or is even that a little bit of change? Or are we getting too much into specifics of community right now?
Well, one of the things that you touched on would be that in a community such as this, a person would have actually more freedom for self-actualization and creativity than they would in society as it is now, just because there'd be more support, there'd be more opportunity, there'd be more people to do it with. A lot of people now are limited in the amount of resources that they have, and they really have to, you know, do that at the expense of everything else. It'd be so much easier to pursue that self-actualization within a supportive community setting, because we're not dictating, you know, what a person can do or wants to do. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, it's consensus. A person has a say-so in whatever they would want to do. And in terms of law enforcement, I mean, sure, when people own the entire community, there becomes less of a need for.
Well, and the other thing too is that if you have a new means of exchange, it's no longer currency. You don't need, you know, coins or shells or anything like that. But it's, I'm going to build this for you, and in turn, and we're actually sort of talking about sort of a barter type system. It sounds like I'm not going to want for anything because I'm contributing to the whole as well as to myself. You're contributing to the whole as well as to yourself. So I don't have to go take from someone else, you know.
Yeah, it's not a barter type system as most people would imagine
okay.
that term to be. It's an exchange system within the community itself. And again, that's explained in Chapter 4 in great detail.
And all the details are there. And all you have to do is pick up a copy of the book, The Next Evolution, Blueprint for Transforming the Planet. And we certainly hope that you'll at least investigate it. Jack Reed is my guest, and we've been sitting here talking about all of this community. And I'm wondering about how close we are. I kind of touched upon it earlier. Are there any parts of any areas in California, in the United States, or somewhere else in the world where they're beginning to, you know, construct or build the type of community we're talking about, put together the 3,000 or 5,000 people in, what is it, clusters of 500? Has that begun yet in terms of the screening process?
I don't know of another group that's doing it as we've laid it out. So I don't know okay. that. I know our intention is to do that. Our intention is, as I said, to do that here and then create a sister community in Africa at the same time.
How far away are you from doing the process here? I mean, what kind of is there a timetable? And if so, what kind of timetable is there?
The timetable is as soon as possible.
because, so you're waiting to.
Because the world needs it. But exactly yeah. when that's going to come okay. about, I would just be totally guessing at this point.
Because I know people are looking around at what's happening and they're not real enthused.
Oh,
know?
I see. People email me all the time and say, you know, like, I'm ready right now.
Yeah.
Do you have something? I'm coming.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the stories in the news right now are that each one of us, depending upon our economic level, we're going to be getting a check in the mail in May and early June. And I'm thinking, for what? How is this helping? And some would observe that this is actually going to hurt, because it's making us dependent upon some outside force to fix things for us when we could do it ourselves. Because that's kind of what you're saying in the book, The Next Evolution, is it is up to us as individuals. Have we kind of lost that understanding that it is up to us, that as a society, we have been letting outside forces sort of do it because we've been told that we don't have to, that they're there to do that?
Well, it's interesting. In the 1990s, there was a world conference on economic development in Rio de Janeiro where the leaders came together and they wrote a statement that went something like that we know that the changes that have to be made are beyond the scope of all governmental agencies and countries, that the changes have to be made by other individuals. And then they, in the next sentence, they go on to recommend what the governments can do after they said that, you know, the whole system's not going to be able to do anything because they didn't know any better.
Yeah.
And I agree completely with their statement. What's going to change everything is a group of people who get together and demonstrate what that change is to the point where other people look at that and they get inspired to say, I want to do this very same thing.
Some people would even look at the biosphere back down in Tucson when they tried that little experiment to have people live in there for an extended period of time as sort of an attempt to create community of sorts. But it was, I think, more in terms of trying to create a sustainable, self-enclosed kind of situation. And even I thought that, though that's kind of a neat idea, it just didn't seem logical. Now, you came up with a wonderful phrase dealing with logic, and I want you to share that with us, if you would, because I think it just makes so much sense.
Yeah, I'm actually fine-tuning this statement as it is. I love
it's a work in progress.
I love wordplay, but it goes something like, unless we start putting the logic into ecological, we'll never be able to remove the stain in sustainable, because the current system, the every person for themselves system, is broken. And the green movement, as far as anything that I have read, and I keep up with these kinds of things, mm-hmm. is that nobody touches the incredible inefficiency and absurdity of the every person for themselves system.
Yeah.
It's like Bucky Fuller once did a study and showed that 85% of the jobs that exist do not need to exist. They only exist because of the lack of cooperation between people. So all the resources that go into all those jobs and all the nonsense products that are created because people have to try and survive on their own, and the designed-in obsolescence mm-hmm. of consumerism
yeah.
to fuel consumerism, to keep it going, so they keep creating product after product after product that goes into landfill after landfill. You know, it's just a crazy, crazy system, and we could do far more in terms of doing something for the green movement by just abandoning that every person for themselves model and created something based on the highest good for all, even mm-hmm. if we did nothing in terms of green technology and green building
right.
principles, we would do far, far more by creating this different model.
Mm-hmm.
But when we incorporate the two of them, now we've really got something.
Can make a difference, make a huge difference. And we'll continue that conversation as we talk with Jack Reed, author of The Next Evolution. Our phone number here is 564-1290, 564-1290. If you're listening on the internet, 866-564-1290. Love to hear from you. Stay tuned. We have more coming up with Jack Reed on Tell Me Your Story. You can go to the website, richarddugan.com, and you can listen to this interview when it's finished. And you can also go to communityplanet.org. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay tuned. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to give us a call, our number is 564-1290, 564-1290, as we talk with Jack Reed, the author of The Next Evolution, a blueprint for transforming the planet. Our number again, 866 564-1290 or locally, 564-1290. You can also email me at richard@richarddugan.com. richard@richarddugan.com, and we will continue. Jack Reed is my guest here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. As we come closer and closer to the end of this hour, Jack, it goes by very, very fast. This idea, though, of community in the book, The Next Evolution, a blueprint for transforming the planet. When you talk about transforming the planet, you're really speaking on a very human level, that we really need to transform our inner selves to make this outer a reality, that you're talking about this outer community. Are there any plans on helping people to reach, as you've described it, that level of conscious maturity?
Yeah, as you know, as what the Bleep points out, and the systems theory and physics point out, everything is interconnected. So we can't really talk about transforming the planet without or ecology without also talking about the consciousness that goes hand in hand with that. And one of the things that can help is when the screening that we do for the community planet community that is created, it's a screening that's done as a consensus training. And we have found in the trainings that we've done that as people move more and more into that, the skills that it takes, the consciousness that it takes, the being willing to get in touch with what's going on within themselves, that's part of the transition that can happen. But I support all the people out there who are doing the great work, Barbara Marx Hubbard, Jean Houston, Marianne Williamson, Jack Canfield, all the people who and all the spiritual groups that are doing that work. It's very important, and it's very much a part of that, and then a part of what we're doing. And then when you combine that with creating the form of the highest good, along with the work that's being done for people to move into the consciousness of the highest good, then you've got the marriage that can really help change the planet.
How have you been observing? I mean, have you seen some dramatic changes around you? Is the, shall we call it, the law of attraction really working for you, that you're drawing more and more people of like mind to you? Or are you still getting some of those people that are not quite at that mature level yet?
You know, it's interesting that somebody sent me one of my friends sent me somebody had watched the DVD of a talk that I gave at the Eco-Visionary Summit in San Francisco as part of the UN's conference, the 50-year anniversary conference, and the person just blistered the whole community planet vision. And my friend wrote me, and he says, he sent a copy of the email that was sent to him, and he said, you probably have seen this a lot. And I said, actually, this is the first one of those that I've seen. I get, you know, the hundreds of emails that have come into me from people are people who just within themselves for years and sometimes decades have thought about this same idea and have known that it's the same idea that has to happen.
Its time has come. As a matter of fact, I would say its time is probably long past and needs to really be worked on diligently. And it appears to me that you've put obviously many years of thought and energy, along with the other folks that have joined you in this process and to progress to this level of bringing us the next evolution. And I thank you very much for joining us on the program.
Okay. I believe that all things happen in their perfect timing. And it seems to me that the timing is now really coming together. The world needs it now. Mm-hmm. And we've got the vision that can do it.
Well, I thank you for sharing that vision with us. I think it's an important vision, and I certainly hope that folks will do some investigating, check it out. Absolutely no harm in doing that, because you just never know what you'll learn. And I thank you again for joining us on the program.
It's been a pleasure.
I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you for joining us. Now, as far as next week is concerned, we have a special program. And what's interesting is Jack is sort of connected with that program as well. He actually led me to this gal who is going to talk to us about freedom from food. Freedom from Food is the title of her book, and her name is Patricia Bish. And she'll be talking to us about her experiences and dieting and going through that whole yo-yo and roller coaster process. So we certainly hope that you'll join us. It's part of the process of changing the way that we think, the way that we do things, and we will ask you to join us at that time. I'm Richard Dugan. Have yourselves a beautiful Saturday. We'll be back next Saturday with Tell Me Your Story from 3 to 4 p.m. here on AM 1290, the News Press Radio Station. Love to Lal.